Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. A Merry Christmas to you on this 12th day of Christmas as we continue to celebrate. So some of you know, and my mom and my stepdad are here today, and they can testify that I grew up in Upper Michigan, but the beauty of Upper Michigan, I think, is not just during the day, but is also at night, when you're looking at the night sky. We are really far removed from so much of the big city stuff that the stars are still beautiful. And so much of my childhood memory is about the stars at night and looking up and gazing so clearly. You can often see the Milky Way because it's just so beautiful and not obstructed by city lights. One of my favorite memories is of being a counselor at Bible Camp, at Fortune Lake Lutheran Bible Camp, and we were doing the story of the foot washing, and we were at the beach, the river, or the waterfront there at Fortune Lake, and people were in the water washing feet, and in the background behind the lake, on the other side of the lake, you could see the beautiful aurora borealis, the northern lights just sort of flickering off into the sky. So beautiful. And I grew up with these stars and this wonderful night sky. So you would think that as a young adult, when I got to Africa, that I wouldn't be so blown away by the night sky in the middle of the African bush, but I was. It was so stunning to look up. It was almost like when Pastor Bob, the leader of our group, said, "Angela, look up and see the stars." It was almost like you could pluck them out of the sky. They were so close to you. And shooting stars falling everywhere. Gorgeous. And it's like that dipper. We were, you know, in the other hemisphere, so the dipper was facing the other way or whatever it was. But it was so beautiful. It was like you could just grab a hold of it. And then we live on an island. So I think if you go to the North Shore, it's almost just as beautiful, if not more so, because different constellations and different parts of this wonderful earth that we are on. The beautiful night sky has often caused me to wonder what it's like to sort of fly through galaxies and discover new places. And in my last congregation, one of the women who I ended up spending a lot of time with, wonderful time with, is a retired engineer. Ruth Moser was the first female to work at MIT. And Ruth was asked by Dr. Draper himself to come over and help them get to the moon. And she tells this wonderful story of when Dr. Draper called her. She said, "Well, we're never going to do it, but okay, I'll come." And lo and behold, he said, "We will, and you will help us get there. And more importantly, Ruth, you will help us get home." And she was the mind and the brains behind the navigation system for the Apollo program and worked for MIT for years later. And she helped me to get a little bit closer to the understanding of our cosmos and the galaxies and told me stories of the astronauts walking on the moon and of the beauty of seeing our planet from up above. And so as I daydream about the stars, we also enter into a time of light, of epiphany, where we are invited to daydream about the stars and the light in our lives. So here we are in the midst of the ending of the season of Christmas with these wonderful Christmas lights on our Christmas trees. And if you're like me, you have more candles throughout your house. And I wonder, have you been able to perceive it? Have you been able to see it, to witness the light? One of the things that Ruth helped me to better understand was this concept in space about black holes. I know she always had some fancy scientific name for black holes, and I don't remember what it was, but she would describe it as a sort of empty void. She said, "You don't see the black hole." She said, They say it's just this empty void that you are drawn into. The gravity of the black hole pulls everything into itself. She said it's something that is perceived, not seen. She said it's the absence of matter, the absence, if you will, of time and light. But in this blackest, darkest, most empty, and I think one of the most hopeless places, this empty void, she would describe to me that this is where light is born. This is where light comes to be in the darkest places. In fact, she said, light, Pastor, is always born where there seems to be no hope. She said, black holes, if we didn't have black holes, we wouldn't have planets and universes and galaxies. That little pinprick of light appears, a beautiful star, stark against the black. So I wonder this Christmas, have you seen the star? Perhaps in your life you've noticed a glimmer of light from time to time. Perhaps Christmas was that wonderful gift for you. On this Christmas, whether we've all perceived it or not, we have received a glimmer of light glowing out of the darkest depths, a sign of hope and a sign of love. It's that pinprick of light, if you will, into life's deepest darkness, the edge of the universe. It's the edge of our reality, and there is where we find the holy, the divine, the God as Almighty, the God who has come to dwell with us, our Emmanuel. Over and over again throughout history, throughout centuries, but also throughout our individual lives, I think that we think we can save ourselves, that we can make it happen. Heck, we can even get ourselves to the moon and beyond. But over and over again, we are, I think, reminded and reality is brought back home that we can't save ourselves. Ruth would tell me stories of World War II as she was growing up in Sweden. She was always very proud that Sweden never entered the war. But she would talk about the people coming into her country from the devastation of the countries around them. Our world is often in desperate need, and our lives, we often find our place, our lives in desperate need of light, something beyond ourselves, something greater than ourselves, so we cannot save ourselves. I imagine that we are hurling through space, past galaxies, at warp speeds, toward black holes and uncertain ends. And through it all, we often find ourselves sore afraid, like those poor shepherds in that first Christmas. Our world and each of us needs a savior. The light shines in the darkness, we heard again this morning, and the darkness did not overcome it. For unto us a child is born and a son is given. Christmas is always about the people who lived in darkness having discovered light. So if you need to keep your Christmas lights up a little bit longer or light a few more candles, see the light and experience it. For light has come, diving through cosmos into our world, totally uncontrollably, until it rested in a manger that first Christmas, among barn animals and all kinds of things that we wouldn't expect God to dwell. Those stars shone in that night sky, especially that one star, and I love that we have the star hanging over our creche scene. God considers each one of us, you individually, as worthy and beautiful, so much so that God sent God's Son to be the light, to shine in the darkness, to beckon us out of our Christmas stupor and into real faith and real life and real living. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory during this most holiest of seasons, even on this very last day of Christmas as we move into Epiphany, the season of light. I pray upon you light and life and peace, for Christ is born. Merry Christmas. Amen.